Today we read from the book of John. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The word of the Lord.
There? Okay. One of the many themes in our youth group is our God moments. I'm sure you guys all know what God moments are. But God moments are where you see God, whether it be in people, nature, or even in this church. I think most of us miss God moments. We kind of live in a very busy society where we're more concerned about what's ahead of us than what God's trying to give us right now. And so I decided for my sermon I would tell you about my most powerful God moment and how it affected me. It happened at the end of a very long week of camping. I was dealing with a lot of difficult scouts that week, and myself and an older scout decided to enjoy the last few moments we had before we had to go home the next morning to see the stars. So we had just come off the path into the camp's big open field, and it was really kind of scary. For someone that's afraid of the dark, it was really eerie. But we walked towards the other end of the field despite that, and we found a spot near the center of the field and we stopped. We both looked up at the same time and were completely silent. It was beautiful. The stars were infinite and never ending. There were thousands of them, like someone had taken a needle and rapidly poked a black sheet, letting the light shine through. When I look towards the horizon, I see the silhouette of trees framing out the sky, and it looks like a black frame with a picture of the night sky in the center. The beauty was almost overwhelming. I forgot all my other senses. All of a sudden, I felt a feeling of warmth over my body. The sky seemed to be so mighty. God had made something so beautiful that had washed the tiring week out of me. There was something magical about that moment, about that sky, that was so powerful. All of a sudden, I was hit back to reality with the thought that I may never see a sky like this again. Suddenly, instead of enjoying the moment, I started to try and remember what it looked like, what it felt like. I tried to memorize the sky, but instead, I was distracted from the dew on my grass soaking through my shoes, getting my feet wet. I was distracted by a breeze blowing, and until then, I hadn't realized how cold it had made me. The moment God had given me was over, but not without me taking something from it first. The next 2 weeks after that night were the hardest of my life. I am grateful I had that moment, because with that moment and with this church community, I knew I could make it through. God has some amazing ways of showing himself, and that night he showed me his grace. I had no idea how important that sky was going to be to me, but now I know that God had given me a gift that I will cherish forever. I've heard many of sermons here in this church, and I understand that I'm supposed to leave you guys with something you guys are supposed to do. So I leave you with this. Look around. God is always trying to show you something, and if you don't stop to look at it, you will miss it. Stop worrying about the future and concentrate on what God is trying to show you right now.
Hello. Okay. About 2 months ago at youth group, Greg Bostrom had us do this activity that really challenged us to think about who we are and what we believe in. He gave us all a slab of clay, and then he asked us to sculpt something that represents us. He gave us about 15 minutes, and while we were working, he put on very relaxing music so that we could concentrate on what we were sculpting. For about the first 10 minutes, I sat there just digging my fingers into the clay with no idea what to sculpt. I looked around the room and everyone else was working hard on their sculptures. Some people had made things such as hands, trees, homes, suns, and music notes. I don't really know what clicked in my mind, but all of a sudden I got the idea to sculpt a unicorn. At that moment, I just kind of went with it because I needed to make a sculpture. But now looking back on it, I don't think I could have thought of a better representation of the person I became in the last year. When I think of unicorns, I think of these majestic creatures that represent optimism. Not many people believe in unicorns, so they represent the idea of believing in something, believing in the impossible, and chasing after your goals. Being a unicorn also requires a person to be a tad bit silly at times, and those of you that know me well enough know that I can fit that characteristic a little bit too well. Although I do believe that I've gained a lot of optimism in the last year, that requires me to admit that before this year, and now still at times, I can be really impatient. I have a type A personality, so I like to plan out a lot of things in my head. And whenever those things don't exactly live up to my expectations, I first have to freak out a little bit to realize that there are multiple solutions to a problem instead of just one. As a senior, the best example of this I can give you is the whole college process. Last April, when I visited University of Kentucky for the first time, I fell in love with it. And just at that moment, I knew that I had to go there. Planning to major in music, I wasn't too worried about my just okay ACT score, just because the ACT has nothing to do with someone's musical abilities. So I applied to the first chance I had, very excited to get into my dream school, and then preparing my audition for the music school. It seemed like such a simple process and that it would be really easy just to, you know, be on track to go to my dream school. But then on September 24th, this letter came. It says, "Dear Alani, thank you for your application to University of Kentucky. Please understand that University of Kentucky maintains a selective admission policy for freshmen and will offer admission first to those applications with the strongest academic potential. Such potential is indicated by high school grade point average, completion of pre-college high school curriculum, and performing on the ACT. We strongly encourage you to retake the ACT." You probably can't see this, but this letter is taped together because my first instinct when I got this was to rip it up. Even though this letter is more of an encouragement for me to strengthen my application, I saw it as the end of the world. I wanted to give up just then and go the easy route and plan on going to one of my backup schools, after a very dramatic reaction, of course. Philippians 4:8-9 says, "If you make a conscious effort to hear, learn, accept, and practice the things you see in me, then the God of peace will be with you." My first impression when I read this was that it seems really simple, almost too simple to be true. I thought that God knew how much I wanted the acceptance from Kentucky and how hard I worked for it. So with that, my perception of things was flooded with thoughts of uncertainty, anxiousness, and doubt. The next morning in church, Pastor Greg did a sermon about trust and keeping in faith. After doing some stalking on the WPC website last night, I re-listened to the sermon and realized how perfect the timing of that sermon was to the situation I was going through. Greg preached that faith is trust without reservation, meaning no matter what, one must always continue to trust and be optimistic. After hearing that, I realized how ignorant I was being. Hearing that sermon was a large God moment for me because it was basically God telling me to keep pushing through the situation I was in and not to give up. So after that, I bought a brand new ACT prep book, rejoined the ACT class I was in, and studied very hard for the next month. In the end, everything worked out. I raised my ACT score, got into the school, and was as well as the music program, and I'm set to go to Kentucky in the fall. But that's not the real focus here, because keeping the faith doesn't always mean that things are going to end up the way you predicted them to be, and there's definitely going to be some bumps in the road. I am so blessed that this whole college thing worked out in my favor, but the truth is, I need to be ready to overcome things that don't always work the way I want them to. The important lesson I learned through this situation is not how to solve all the different problems in the math section of the ACT, But it's that I not only gained more faith in God, but I regained faith in myself. I used to be so insecure in myself and have such a low level of confidence, but I know now that I can't just sit around and wait for good things to happen to me. I have to build up the courage to chase my dreams and be able to face the challenges of uncertainty. The second part of keeping the faith is that God will use all of those bad moments to bring you to a better place. That is so important to me because if I just applied to the school and got in right away, I wouldn't have learned this lesson and I would still have thoughts of doubts in myself. God brought me to a better place because I faced something difficult to prepare myself to face even more difficult things in the future. So going back to the idea of being a unicorn, I believe that I am one. Not realistically, of course. I learned how to have trust in myself and that there can always be multiple solutions to a problem if you allow yourself to believe that there is. Obviously not in the ACT, though. My earlier opinion on the Bible verse, if you make a conscious effort to hear, learn, accept, and practice such things you have seen in me, the God of peace will be with you, was really one-sided. Because once I decided to trust in my faith, I was able to gain the strength to work through my problem and realize how much I'm actually capable of. And even in the future, when I encounter something I don't obtain, I'll remember that some things fall apart so better things can fall together. So of course, today is Mother's Day, and I want to know everyone how special my mom is. During this whole situation and many others, she's always cheered me on and given me many pep talks when I had doubt myself. She always helps me remember to keep the faith when I'm going through something, and she has done a great job teaching me to be a unicorn. And although in 3 months I will be starting a new chapter of my life, which I don't want to think about being away from her yet, I know that she has taught me well enough to continue being a unicorn wherever life takes me and to encourage others to be a unicorn as well, just as she has for me. I love you, Mom, and happy Mother's Day. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. Shows you how great of a mom I have is that she got up at the crack of dawn and came to early service to hear her son preach. If that isn't dedication to your craft, folks, I don't know what is. Everyone give her a hand. Thanks for coming, Mom. The past few weeks since Easter, the scriptures have been focused around the Eastertide, or the story is about what happens after the resurrection. And I feel like it's really in these stories that we begin to realize the full scope of what Jesus' resurrection meant to the disciples back then and what it still means to us now. I mean, we hear all the time that Jesus died for our sins, but what does that really mean? What did it mean to the disciples back then? What does it mean to us now? What do we really get out of faith? I know we put a lot into faith, but what do we really get out of it? These are tough questions, and unfortunately, one of the major offenders of avoiding tough questions is Hollywood. But there is one film that I think does a pretty good job at answering these tough questions, and that movie is The Shawshank Redemption. Now, the religious imagery in Shawshank isn't readily apparent, and if you've only seen it once, you might have very well missed it. If you haven't seen it at all, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, let me bring you up to speed. The film focuses around a man named Andy Dufresne, who's played by Tim Robbins, and he's a successful banker who is wrongly convicted of murder and ends up serving a life sentence in Shawshank Prison. While he's in prison, he develops a very close relationship with a fellow prison lifer named Ellis Redding, who's played by Morgan Freeman. And Red is sort of Andy's foil, whereas Andy is very hopeful and yearns for the outside world and very alien to the kind of prison culture. Red has become very acclimated to it and is more than willing to live out the rest of his life sort of as a meaningless prisoner. Now, one image that struck me as particularly Christ-like occurs towards the end of the film. Andy starts to act, well, not like Andy. He starts to lose hope, he acts depressed, and naturally Red is worried about this. And it doesn't calm Red's spirits at all when he finds that Andy has requested for a length of rope from one of the fellow prisoners, presumably to commit suicide. When Andy doesn't present himself at roll call the next morning, naturally, Red, as well as all of us that are viewing, assume the worst. Now, there's a great shot when the prison guard is walking down the hall, and we track back with the prison guard, and we get to see the look of shock on his face when he looks into the cell and sees it empty. A look of shock that I don't think is quite different from the look of shock that was on Mary's face when she saw the empty tomb. One second. Baby made me lose track where I was. Ah, yeah. In my opinion, the stories after the resurrection become less focused on Jesus and more about the disciples and everybody else's reactions to Jesus and the resurrection. And in a similar way, after Andy's escape from prison by crawling through a sewer duct, it starts to become less about Andy and more about Red and how Red reacts to this sacrifice. And don't try to tell me that crawling through 500 yards of raw sewage isn't a sacrifice. Red is quite used to being a prisoner, like I said before. He's used to being looked down upon by society, and he's quite frankly fine with living a meaningless life. But Andy's sacrifice kind of inspires him, after he gets out on parole, not to go back to prison, but instead to seek out Andy. And I'd like to show you a clip from Red's journey.
Get busy living, or get busy dying. For the second time in my life, I'm guilty of committing a crime. Parole violation. Of course, I doubt they'll toss up any roadblocks for that. Not for an old crook like me. Fort Hancock, Texas, please. I find I'm so excited I can barely sit still or hold a thought in my head. I think it's the excitement only a free man can feel. A free man at the start of a long journey whose conclusion is uncertain. I hope I can make it across the border. I hope to see my friend and shake his hand. I hope the Pacific is as blue as it has been in my dreams. I hope.
I am so excited I can barely sit still or hold a thought in my head to see my friend, to shake his hand. Now, my time has not come yet, and hopefully that day is a long way away where I go and rejoin God, but when that day does come, I can't help but think that I'm going to be pretty excited to see my friend again, to shake Jesus' hand. That is what faith does for us. It gives us hope, it fills us up with excitement, and most importantly, it inspires us to get busy living. Thank you.